What a beautiful, beautiful time to come together to learn more about God's will for our lives, to be reminded of the truths that are found therein, and to be encouraged to continue to live the life of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a reason to smile, let me give you one. If you're in Christ, you're saved. What a great reason. What a beautiful reason. And if I seem to be all cheery and it seems as if I'm overfilled with joy after a week of being with God's people and hearing over 30 lessons, I'm not sorry. And the reason why is because what a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere to be in God's presence, to be amongst his people, to be challenged by his word, to be encouraged to continue to fight the good fight of faith, and to lay hold on eternal life. The very fact that you are here on tonight says that you are one that abounds. You are not one that says that morning service is enough. So therefore, we're grateful and we want to commend you on doing the will of God. It's not to say that because you're here that you don't have issues and problems and struggles, emotional situations going on, maybe struggling with the scriptures, struggling with things that the scriptures teach. And we understand that. But the very fact that you're here and you want to engage in further learning, fellowship, we understand that this takes a great deal of courage and strength. And we want to help you here at the Ninth and Main Congregation to continue to fight the good fight of faith and to look into the scriptures that they may help you to be the people that God wants you to be. And friends, that's what it's about. It's about looking into your life, striving to be a better person, striving to be more like Jesus Christ. With that being said, I want us to take notice of 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to notice the first 12 verses. And I want us to think about the word abound or abounding. As I was pondering this, I was thinking about the different maturity levels and how all of us are on different maturity levels. And as we are approaching God and as we fellowship, and I use this word loosely, deal with one another, I believe it's important that we understand that there are different maturity levels in Christ and that all of us ought to be striving to help one another grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours, and notice this, and abound. Do you see that, friends? You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you all always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. The reason why I wanted to read this particular pericope of scripture is because we understand 2 Peter chapter 1, we've heard this, those who have been in the church for a long duration of time, all of our lives. Maybe those who are new to the Lord's church, those who have rededicated their life to the reading of the scriptures. Well, we want to put you in familiarity with this particular pericope or passage of scripture. And the reason why is because God himself desires for us to abound. He doesn't want us to be a people of status quo. He doesn't want us to be a people who are stagnant, who are okay with just doing the bare minimum. He always wants us to be a people that as we are growing in grace, we say to ourselves, that's not enough. I want to grow more. We want to be a people who, because we see God for who he is and we understand that Jesus Christ is the standard, we look at our lives, we do that introspective look, we examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, and we say to ourselves, that's not enough. I want to grow more. I want to do more. I want to be more. And we understand that we can't be more than Christ. We understand that we can't do more than Christ. But we can be a people who are continuing to grow as we are being conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ, according to what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 29. So you look at that word abound. And I want to give you some definitions to work with, because as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what a powerful, powerful word. And we're going to look at this word as it is used in two different ways. Number one, the word abound means to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number or measure. Now, friends, these are not from the Webster's Dictionary or Wikipedia. These are definitions directly from the Greek language. To be over, to remain, to exist or be at hand in abundance, to be great, abundant, a thing which comes in abundance or overflows unto one, to abound, overflow, to be abundantly furnished with, to have in abundance, to abound in a thing, to make to abound, to furnish one richly so that he has abundance, to make abundant, listen to this, or excellent. Now that's beautiful right there. Excellent. See, we want to be a people who are not just doing things just to get by. If anything, we want to be a people of excellence. This particular word is used in Matthew 5 and verse 20. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20 as Jesus is talking to those Galilean Jews. It's the Sermon on the Mountainside. And notice what he says in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 5. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds, there's our word, goes beyond, abounds, notice, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means, here is the key word, enter. Some brethren use this particular verse as it relates to giving. Wrong. As a matter of fact, If you think that, don't think that no more. It is not right whatsoever. Why? Here it is. Enter what? The kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. The scribes and Pharisees were more concerned with keeping the righteousness which flowed out from Moses instead of looking to Jesus Christ for their righteousness. That's interesting. That we ought to be a people who are looking to be the righteousness of Christ. We even have those in our day and time who say, I keep the law of Moses. How can that be when the law of Moses was nailed to the cross? Ephesians 2, 11 through 14. Colossians 2, 12 through 14. We're not under the law to Moses. We're under the law to Christ. Galatians 3. We understand that it was the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Our righteousness is Christ, not Moses. Or look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 58. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, I hope y'all don't have a headache. The reason why I say that, we ought to be excited about the Word of God. The Word of God is something that is very, very encouraging. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 58, in the context, we understand that you had those who were defaming the resurrection. They were saying that the resurrection was null and void. It meant absolutely nothing. And there were some people who was trying to get the Corinthians to go away from the resurrection. That's why Paul said in verse number 33, evil communication corrupt good morals. They're trying to get you not to believe in the resurrection. There's not going to be a resurrection. They're like those in the days of Hymenaeus and Philetus who said that the resurrection had already passed. But here, I love this particular text because in the text, he talks about we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about hell. Why? Because God took the sting out of death. With that being said, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always what? Always what? Abounding. Not just mediocrity, not just doing enough to get by as a Christian, but if anything, I'm going to go over and beyond. And even when I grow to a particular point of maturity, I'm going to go over and beyond the point that I was a year ago. I'm going to keep abounding in my Christianity. Why? Because I understand that the one that's living in me, he abounds. He's the one that causes me to abound. Therefore, I want to continue to abound. I'm never all right. Why? Because of what I've got to look forward to. And because I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about hell because Jesus Christ took out the sting of death. That's powerful, friends. That's encouraging. And because of that, I'm never okay with my spiritual level. I'm always trying to grow in my prayer life. I'm always trying to grow in my meditation life, in my giving, in everything that I do, I'm trying to grow. So notice what he says in that verse again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the what? In the work of the Lord. Now we're going to do part two on next week. Because I already see that this is more comprehensive than I thought it was going to be. The reason why. Think about this. Why were we created in Christ Jesus? Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Jesus, in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, went about doing good. But why? Because of who was in him. Why? Who is in us? Christ, the hope of glory. So Christ is working in us. He's working in our hearts. He's working in our minds. He's working in our souls. He's doing it through the word. And because of that, we're energized to abound. We're not okay with just status quo. I did that last year. I'm okay with that this year. No, sir. No, ma'am. If I'm struggling with something last year, I want to get to a point where I can look back and I can see progress. I'm stronger. I'm more vibrant for the Lord. I'm doing more evangelism for the Lord. I'm working out my salvation in the Lord. Why? I'm not okay with just being an all right father or an all right husband or an all right wife or an all right student. I want to abound. I want to do more for the Lord. We see that right there in the text. Knowing this, notice, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, God knows exactly what we're doing. You don't have to have somebody put your name in the bulletin. You don't have to have anybody pat you on the back. Just know that you're doing the will of God, and He'll reward you on that last day. What a blessing as we abound more and more. This word is rich. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse number 12. Jesus uses this particular word, but He uses it in a negative sense now. He uses this word in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12 in a negative sense. And friends, it is all around us. And if we're not careful as the people of God, we can allow evil communications to cause us to think a certain way, to cause us to doubt. Is God really in heaven looking down upon us? Why does He allow all of this abortion to go on? Why do He allow all of this killing to go on? Why does He allow all of these things to go on around us? If God is really up there, why does He allow evil, pain, and suffering? Why does He allow lawlessness? Notice, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12, this is on the cusp of false prophets and deceiving many. And because lawlessness, here's our word, will abound. Friends, it is easy to get discouraged because of iniquity. It is easy to get discouraged because you see all of the sin that is around you. And it seems as if that it goes unchecked. Nobody want to check them on that. Here, we have individuals who are slandering one another out in the world. We're not talking about in the church. We're talking about in the world. We have false teachers who are out there preaching false doctrine, saying certain things as it relates to giving out propositions as it relates to salvation. And why do they allow that to go on? Lawlessness. And notice what Jesus says. He says, and the love of many will grow cold. What love? My love for God, my love for truth, my love for salvation. Well, if all of this is going on, why should I even go to church? Why should I even pray to a God who allows all these things to go on? This is in the negative. Lawlessness, iniquity, sin, rebellion, deception is going crazy. And God, Jesus is saying, the love of many will grow cold because of that. Friends, that happens. But we have to remain strong. We have to remain focused. Now let's look at it in a positive way. Look at Romans 15 and verse 13. In Romans 15 and verse number 13, our need for God to work in our lives is vitally important through His Word. Notice in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. I'm going to give you a couple more thoughts and then we'll continue on next week because I want to bring this out even more. We want God to abound in our lives. Hold on. God wants us to abound, but He knows that the only way that you're going to abound, I have to be working through you. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, notice what Paul is saying here at the end of his letter. Now may the God of hope, plerao, fill you to the full with what? With all joy. Let's stop. And let's think about this. God wants to cram us up with joy? You better believe He does. Hold on. Why do I walk around in my house, on my job, in the grocery store? How you doing today? I'm all right. Why? God, play Rao. filled to the full. It's the same word in Ephesians 5, verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. The whole context is dealing with God's truth. The God of hope is filling us to the full. He's cramming us up, which means that there's no room for a person not to be joyous. Even Christ, Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? And don't play the hypocrite by being mean at home and joyous outside the house. Don't do that. If God is our joy, and notice the text is clear. Now may the God of hope fill you to the full with joy. But not just that, and peace, irene, serenity, calmness. I know God is going to take care of me. Think about this, friends. The God of hope is going to do these things, and we haven't even got to the good part yet. Here's the good part. Notice the end of the text. In believing, in order that you may what? There's our word. Abound. Overflow. Wow. God, you want things to overflow in my life? Yes. Y'all pick it up. Perk 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 it up. I'm saying that to say this. God has been too good to us for us to not have joy. And the very fact that you're here, I know you want to have joy. But sometimes we have things and people and circumstances and problems and concerns that get between us and our joy in Christ. I come here tonight to say, let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. And let's have the joy that God wants us to have, because it's not about us. It's about those who don't have joy on the outside, that they may see the joy that we have in Christ and ask, what's going on? This past week, I was talking to a couple of brothers. We was working out this week, and as we was working out, a couple of his friends, his name was Wes and Kyle Mangan. Good guys. Well, they didn't live the perfect lives after they graduated from high school. But their friends, after about, I guess, 4 or 5 years, realized that these guys have changed. Reading their Bibles every day. They have this newfound love for the Lord. And as a matter of fact, their friends was asking them, man, what's going on with you? Your Facebook has changed. Your Twitter has changed. Your mouth has changed. Your attitude has changed. What's going on with you? I gave my life fully to the Lord. You know what that says? That a person can give their life to the Lord, but not fully. You know, a person that gives their life 98% to the Lord is usually 2% miserable. But when you give your life fully to the Lord, even when the misery comes into your life, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to God in prayer. I'm going to see what I need to do in order to stay studied up on this. I'm going to have the right attitude even in the midst of this. And working out with those guys, the attitudes that they had, man, I'm like, I got more workout out of talking with them than the weights. Think about that. Friends, the God of hope wants to fill us to the full. The question is, do we want to be filled and abounding in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you one more point, because it's important. Let's look at the second way this word is used, and we'll go back next week, and we're going to look at some of those other examples that I have here. John 10, verse 10. You go there, and I'm going to give you the way that this word is used the second time in the New Testament. Now, granted, friends, both of these words, even though they are probably used some maybe 65 times, They're only used a certain amount of time as relates to it being translated abound or abounding or abundantly. Here, we see that this word is also used as abounding or abundantly. It literally means super encouraging, exceeding abundantly, superior, extraordinary, more than what is necessary. Brian, I love that definition. Hold on, more than what is necessary? Yes. You know how it is. You ask your child to go, son, take the trash out. You take the trash out, it don't make it to the trash can. Why not? Well, you told me to take it out, I took it out the house. But it needs to leave this trash can and make it to the other trash can, from trash can to trash can. That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, when you think about super abundantly, Jesus said in John 10, "For the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more what?" Literally, extraordinary. Hold on, Jesus. You want us to have an extraordinary life? We're supposed to be looking that much different from those who don't have a relationship with you? Yes. Yes, we ought to look different. We ought to think different. We ought to act different. We ought to look at different things. We ought to listen to different things. Why? We are a different people. The disciples in Mark chapter 6, look at verse 51. I love this one right here. It's probably my favorite. The disciples, they were blown away by the power of Jesus Christ. Notice, the storm was brewing. He is in the hinder part of the ship. The disciples are going crazy. They say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And as soon as he gets up, the wind calms. Just the very fact that he even stands up, everything begins to cease. Hold on. Just the very fact that we have Jesus Christ in our lives ought to calm us down. Ought to calm us down. So calm down. It'll be all right. I know this brother every time he turns around, settle down, settle down, settle down. You know the Lord tells us to settle down. Why? Because I'm living with you. Settle down. And sometimes we need someone to tell us to settle down, right? Because we go over the top. And this word is so powerful because the very fact that Jesus stands up. Oh, you little faith. Wind calms. Settle down. Calm down. Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. I'll leave you with this one. This is what happens when we begin to consider and understand the goodness of God. We'll pick up next week on some more of these. In Ephesians 3 and verse number 20, this is the close of Paul's prayer as he is thanking God because of the mystery, because of Jew and Gentile being in one body, because of salvation offered unto mankind. Paul is just elated that Jews and Gentiles could be in one church. He's elated about that. Why do you think African Americans and Caucasians and Hispanics can come in one location and worship the God of heaven? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's beautiful. You don't have to have segregated places. You don't have to have that. There's only one Lord. There's only one Father. And because of that, we can all come together and worship God. Paul says, "I thank God for that." Now notice verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do," there's our word, he's going over and beyond. He's doing exceedingly abundantly. We can't even fathom the goodness and the graciousness of God for allowing us to come in one location. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about underneath a tree. I'm not talking about underneath a pavilion. I'm talking about in the location of Christ. Everybody was baptized into Christ. Ought to be grateful that we can come under one umbrella, the blood of Christ, and worship the God of heaven. "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We can't even fathom it. God goes beyond what we can ponder. Philippians brings that out. Paul brings that out. Don't have time to go into that. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Question. Are you doing enough? The answer is no. Can you do more? The answer is yes. Can I be more attentive when the Word of God is being read and taught? Yes. Can I be more focused in my prayer life toward God? Yes. Can I be more grateful for what God has done for me? Yes. Can I be more thankful? Can I have more joy in my heart? Yes. Can I grow in grace? Yes. Why? Because of what God did for me. And friends, what a blessing. And I was thinking about this as I was walking in. Why do we even have evening service? The more I thought about it, what a blessing to be able to come a second time and get more feeding. Smile, Dennis. There you go. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know we can come and get more of God's word? It's a blessing that we can come and sing more to the Lord. He deserves it. And we need it. Hold on. Y'all hear that? He deserves it and we need it. It's not that we need it or we deserve it and he needs it. No, he deserves it and we need it. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be encouraged. Why? Because salvation has been offered. It has been offered over 2,000 years ago on that bloody cross. God raised that man from the grave. Gave him all authority. After he gave him all authority, he raised him up on a cloud. Sat him on his right hand. And gave him dominion, glory, and a kingdom. You know where Jesus is right now? Still on that right hand of our Father. You know what he's doing? He's making intercession and mediation for all mankind. But for those who are outside of Christ, they don't have that yet. That's what we're offering. We're offering a free ticket because it didn't cost you anything. It cost him. It cost him his life. It cost him blood. And that's why a man can't go out and establish a church. Why? Because you got to buy it. And you can't use silver and gold. It was bought with blood. The blood of Christ. Acts 20 and verse 28. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19. What a powerful commodity and agent that we have in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be baptized? To have your sins washed away? So you can have that abundant life. So you can be crammed up with joy. So you can have that hope and peace. So you can abound. So you don't have to live a life of mediocrity. But maybe a child of God, you've been living a life of mediocrity. Well, I'll study that later. I'll read that later. I'll pray later. You know what? I'll meditate later. You know what? Let me watch this show, this CSI real quick, and then I'll get to my studying later. It happens. Oh, what about Property Brothers? That's a good show. Why don't you just DVR it, spend an hour with the Lord, and then go back and watch it. Go over and beyond, because God deserves it. As we stand and as we sing.